Brother Kevin, just say what you just said again. I thought that was good.
I've just been realizing that God's word, starting from Genesis going forward, people are just unwinding all of his commandments and going all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, people won't kill animals anymore. We were given them to eat after the flood. And we just did our talk about feminism. That was before that. And eventually the Antichrist will sit in the place of God.
Yeah.
It just seems like everything God did, we're just working backwards until we replace him.
Yeah, amen.
Not Christians, but the world.
Amen, amen. And I think we've talked about this probably not on audio. So the Tower of Babel, we all know the story, Tower of Babel. Why did God decide to scatter man?
Because they were united.
Wait, say that again?
They were united in the pursuit of something which was not from him.
Yeah. So man came together in one language, and the Bible says nothing he can imagine to do will be withheld from him. And so then God confounded the languages. And it's interesting, if you look at here, if you guys ever want a tidbit, if you ever want a tidbit to destroy evolution and man being millions and millions of years old, one question to ask somebody. Anybody know what it is?
Yeah, but I
like
you
about
ask
the history of language.
Yeah. Brother Kuo, do you remember? I think you and I talked about this.
I think Brother Kevin was kind of right. I think it has something to do with language.
Yeah, here you go. Ready? Ask somebody, what's the oldest language known to man? What do you guys know the answer to that?
Is it Sanskrit or something like that?
Yep, Sanskrit. It's like an Indian language. Guess how old it is? Documented. Documented. Everybody agrees with this. Secular people, scholars, Bible scholars, everybody agrees. Guess how old it is? 187,000 years old. Do you think that's right?
No.
How about 50? How about 50,000? How about 50,000 years old?
Lower.
Yeah. What do you think?
8,000.
It's 6,000 years old. So you ask somebody that thinks man has been walking on his two feet for a million years, you ask somebody and you just say to them, I have a question for you. Are you telling me that for a million years, man walked around, had no language and just went, and never had a formed language until 6,000 years ago? All of a sudden, they just started speaking, and all the languages burst out about the same time, 5,000-6,000 years ago. Can you explain that to me? Does that make any sense? It just doesn't match their millions of year old model. Do you get my point?
Yes.
It doesn't line up. So you ask them that. Sanskrit, the oldest language, 6,000 years. If man's been around that long, there would be languages documented going way, way, way back. Time doesn't go back that far. The only thing that goes back that far is all their crazy carbon dating that isn't even accurate and all of that. So going back to the Tower of Babel, God confounded their language, scattered them. And then he said, anything they would imagine to do, they'll do, so I'll scatter them. Guess what's happened now in our lifetime? It didn't happen in my lifetime. It's actually happened in young men like your guys' lifetime. That computers have now brought language to where through AI and computer software, man can all speak the same language now. You can look in on a United Nations meeting, and 600 different nations or languages, or I don't know how many hundreds it is, they're all listening on one microphone when a guy's speaking, one earpiece, and the computers are translating it all into their language. And this is why science has advanced so far. You know, 50 years ago, you had scientists in China, you had scientists in Russia, you had scientists in India, all working independently and they never gathered together, and they never could learn off of each other's research. Now, scientists are all working together across the world in combined projects, making technological advances, leaps and bounds like AI and all this stuff. And guess what? I read an article about a year ago. These reality helmets that people wear. Brother Kevin probably knows all about this. You put a helmet on and then you got sensors in your hands and you watch like a screen, right, Brother Kevin?
Virtual reality?
Virtual reality. They literally now advertise that all you do is strap on one of these virtual reality helmets and you put these key things in your hands, and literally the ad says you can do anything you can imagine. The exact words from that when God said they will now be able to do anything they can imagine. Now with this AI and computers and all the one language, they literally advertise it. It's kind of like pride for the gay people. It's like so in your face. They literally advertise it. You can now do anything you can imagine. When people put on these little helmets, you can skydive over Hawaii. You can go to the depths of the ocean. And then you could do, I won't even talk about it, you could do all kinds of perverted things too. Anything you can imagine now, you could do on these virtual reality headsets. And I believe that we are close to the time when the Father's going to say, enough, we're going to stop this. I stopped it once, I'm going to stop it again. And that's when I think the end times are going to come. But they're doing that right now. And then you got Answers in Genesis ready to build the Tower of Babel for entertainment. I'm sorry?
You gotta be kidding me.
Brother, I'm not kidding you. Ken Ham is raising the $50 million he says he's gonna need to build the Tower of Babel.
He doesn't even know what it looks like.
Hey, that didn't stop him from Noah's Ark. Noah had a lounge, a library, a workout area. They make up what they need to. How else are you going to become multi-million rich with an entertainment park in Christ's name? Come on, Brother Patrick. Get with the program, huh? Wicked men. Wicked men. So what...
God's mercy is just incredible that he hasn't just wiped mankind off the face of the earth. Yeah.
Amen, brother.
It's just, I'm in awe of God's mercy and grace.
Yeah, you know what, brother? The longer you live as a believer, a true believer, following Christ, and understanding both who you were and what the world is, and the more magnified the mercy and grace of God is. You know, the Bible says, to whom much is forgiven, they love much. And when you see that, then you understand like the zealousness of people when they go, my, the Lord forgave me so much. I can't believe he didn't kill me. I didn't even realize how wicked I was, like me and Sister Amen. We didn't realize back then how wicked we were. We knew we were wicked. We didn't know how wicked compared to God's word. Now we look back and we go, oh, he should have consumed us at any time. And so we're grateful and thankful and humbled that he didn't. But I did all the talking on that. What do you guys think about that? The Tower of Babel, man could do anything he can imagine, and now we're at that place once again.
Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased.
Yeah. Amen. Good verse. We're living in that time.
Yes, it's interesting that Brother Kevin was saying about how everything seems to be unraveling and going back.
Yep.
When you read, it's interesting. When you read about who Jesus Christ is, like, let's take the book of Revelation. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was, in which is to come, the Almighty. That's what Jesus said. When you look at... Hang on a second.
You looking up a scripture verse, brother?
Yes, I am. Okay. Give me a second.
Yeah, not a problem. I love that. I love that. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I love the concept. Just imagine, just ponder that about God. He's outside of time. It's so hard for our little puny brains, our finite minds, to understand the infinite, that he's outside of time. That's how he knows who's going to be in heaven. He knows your future steps, brothers. He knows where you're going to be 837 days from now. It's awesome to ponder that. That should give us a great trust, shouldn't it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I was telling, until Brother Patrick's ready, I was telling Brother Kevin today about how I met Brother Kuo and how all the things had to come together perfectly for Brother Kuo and I to meet. His life, his decisions, his job, his choices, my life, my ministry, my travels, my choices, and then even in the day, we met early in the day. He left and went and did his own thing. Then he came searching for us at the end of the day, and we would have been gone. But Sister Amin said, hey, let's sit here for a while. We did, and a bunch of people came to witness to, and Brother Colin, he was Colin at the time, not Brother, he was Colin at the time, came back and sat and talked to us for an hour. I'm kind of convinced, Brother, if you didn't come back and we didn't meet up for that hour and a half, we may have never hooked up after that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that was kind of that was definitely a God appointed moment, because I was just walking around the festival looking for you, and the Holy Spirit must have led me right down the right street, right to the right corner, because I spotted you right on that corner, and I'm like, that's awesome, there he is.
Yeah, because so. I felt you and I really kind of drew a lot closer in that. We had about an hour and a half conversation there. I felt like we drew a lot closer, and then you emailed me after that. So, yeah, when you think how sovereign God is and we rely on him for those things, it's really awesome. Are you ready, Brother Patrick?
I'm still looking for the verse here.
Oh.
I have a verse then.
Go ahead, Brother Kevin.
Psalm 139:16. Thine eyes did see my substance yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So awesome. Here's the verse. Do you remember the one I read about Jesus describing him and who he is?
The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end.
Which was, do you remember that part?
Yep.
Let me read it again. He is the Lord which is and which was and which is to come. And then consider, this is what it's going to. Revelation 17. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and yet is. Do you catch how it's completely
opposite. Yep.
Who Jesus Christ is, and yep. Like everything is getting unraveled to the point where it's going to be completely opposite.
Yeah.
And that's the kingdom of darkness, which is basically the one we're fighting against. That's why when Brother Kevin said, like, everything looks like it's just unraveling and going back, yeah, that's what it is. It's the kingdom of darkness making everything opposite all the way to the climax and Antichrist.
Amen.
Who's coming, who is completely not just, he's the opposite of Christ.
Yeah, and we talked about the other day, Jesus incarnate of God, Antichrist incarnate of Satan. Satan in the flesh. That's who's coming.
But you know what? I don't want to end on that note. I've got this one. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
I love that. He's definitely going to win. We win in the end, brothers. Don't let anybody ever... These people that walk by and go, hail Satan, I love to tell them. I go, why would you follow Satan? He's a loser. Read the end of the book. He loses. They're like, yeah, whatever.
What I find kind of interesting is there's more light in the world than ever, like physical light. We have the artificial light of phones and lights and all sorts of entertainment and whatnot, yet it's getting darker spiritually, and you can only see it if God gives you eyes to see it.
Amen.
And So the darkness, people won't realize it's getting darker and darker and darker because everything's getting brighter in the flesh, but it is getting really dark.
Yeah, it's a great point. That's a great point. And there's a lot of false light.
Yeah.
That's true. Going on. The churches and false people. How about this verse? Here's some hope for you. Sometime I think that one of the best things I've ever done, and it's all of God, it's His word, I got nothing. One of the best things I think I've ever done is I think I told you guys about this. I have an audio where I read all the promises of the book of Revelation. It, you know, when you say to this people, hey, the book of Revelation, what's the first you think of? What's the first thing, Brother Kuo, most people think of?
Just tribulation, destruction, plagues,
yeah,
that kind of
Antichrist, mark of the beast. They think of all the bad stuff and the evil that's coming and all that. But go listen sometime to my audio under the promises of Revelation. And it's like, man, there are some amazing promises in the book of Revelation. And we should not miss that it is the book revealing Christ and He's going to win and vanquish. Get this one. Revelation 11:15. This proves what we always talk about, the two kingdoms right now. There's a kingdom of Satan, which is this world system. There's the kingdom of our Father that's in us. It says, Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Christ is coming back to destroy everything that's not of the Father. I always tell people, why are you propping up your religious, your political, your sports, your entertainment? Christ is coming back to destroy it all in flaming fire. He's taking back the kingdoms for the Father. I love that verse. I long for that day, brothers.
Yeah, I was thinking about the Roman Catholic guy I met yesterday, and then you're witnessing to the Anabaptist, and there's this one verse that I think I'm going to start using more often, where Jesus said, every plant that is not being planted of my heavenly Father shall be rooted up.
Yeah.
God did not plant this. It's going to be uprooted. If you're hanging on to it, you're going to get plucked out with it. So yeah. What are you hanging on to?
Yeah, and that's a great thought. And go read. I know, I think Brother Kevin and I talked about this extensively months back. Go read the parable of the talents. No, parable of the sower. And Brother Patrick, up there in Canada, you have vast wheat fields and stuff, don't you?
Yes.
I'm an old farm boy, and this one never really hit me until I read it when the Bible talks about a great harvest. And whenever I think of harvests, I think of you send the corn combine in, you harvest, and I think of the harvest as the corn. And that's true. You're going to harvest corn. But what is the bulk of what they harvest when they harvest?
If you've ever seen a combine going through a field, there's a lot more stuff flying out the back as chaff and straw being chopped up and spread than's going in the hopper.
Yeah. And you hit right where I was going. So when the Bible talks about the workers are plenty, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. And I always thought, that must mean, right? God, people always say, that means God's going to harvest so many people off the earth. And I'm like, wait a minute. We know there's going to be few. And what is a harvest? A harvest is when a reaper, which it says the angel's going to come, plunges his sickle in. He don't just cut the grain heads off and take just the grain. He cuts the whole plant down. And he separates the wheat from the chaff. And like Patrick said, that stuff is blown out the back like crazy. They couldn't collect it all in a bunch of semis. And all that's in the hopper of the combine is the good corn or the good wheat. So think about the great harvest that's coming. It's going to be the harvest of the wicked, too. Have you pondered that, brothers? The harvest is going to be of the wicked.
Yeah, I have a verse here. John Baptist, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
Amen. Amen. So, a little bit of history there. They would gather wheat, they'd throw it, I guess, on a floor, and they would blow fans over it, and the chaff would blow away, and the wheat's heavier and go to the bottom before they had combines and stuff. That's how they would do it, yeah. So, yeah, that really kind of changed my view of how I street, why I street preach, is these people that mock and ignore and hate, and the churchianity people that don't want the truth, oh, you're going to be part of the harvest. You're just not the part of the harvest you think you are. The church people, you're going to be part of the harvest, and God's going to cut down. He's going to plunge his sickle, and there's going to be a great wrath press, a wine press or wrath press of God, and most people are going to fall into that. So that really kind of just changed my view of the harvest, and that there still is going to be few, but there's going to be a great harvest on the earth, and it's coming one day, brothers.
Amen.
Any other thoughts? We covered on this one, Tower of Babel. We covered the harvest. We covered things are unwinding. Oh, I'll throw in one. Doesn't Isaiah talk about good becoming evil, evil becoming good? Isn't that like the day we're living in today?
Isaiah 5:20. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
Wow. That, I mean, we're just living that today. We're just living that. It's just incredible. I mean, little children have more sense than 70-year-old men that should know better when it comes to, like, right and wrong and the things of God. We are living in a delusionary state of darkness where, yeah, people don't have eyes and ears to see. And really, like, God put this on my heart this summer. He's turned people over. He's turned mostly the mid to older generation here in America. It's like he's turned them over. And there's still light for some of the young people, but the older people, it's like he's turned them over. So we're living in a time and an age when the prophets would have loved to live. You guys realize that?
Yeah. They would have loved to just have the things we have, Jesus said.
Yeah. But there, to see Israel be born as a nation, to be see all these things coming to pass, to see the gospel spread around the world, and it has, and it is, and to see the great corruption of the gospel, like it has happened all over, just to see all this pouring out, it should give us great faith to see the word playing out. Like I told that man that I witnessed to the other day, go test the Bible. It's an accurate history book. It is pointed exactly where the world is headed, and it will build your faith. Can't please God without faith, and I know it's built my faith greatly. Because there's nothing like the Word of God that comes close to even predict what's going on. And it's so true and it's so accurate. And I don't know about you, I'm excited for the future. Whatever it brings, I don't care. I'm excited because it's one day closer to go be with our Lord and Savior.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to say, regardless of what the future brings, even if we die, every day is another day closer to the Lord's return.
Yeah. Yes, Sister Amin and I had a little saying we would say and kind of snicker at, and it was like, you know, when people want to threaten you or something, it's like, threaten me with heaven? Is that what you're doing? You're threatening, you're going to take me out, and you're going to send me to heaven. Is that what you're doing? You really think that's a threat to me? It's not a threat. If I was holding on to my life, it's a threat. You're threatening me with heaven. Yeah, we'll blow you up, we'll kill you, we'll take you out of here. Okay, you're threatening me with heaven because I'm going, that's where I'm going. I'm going to go be with my master, absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. So building up your life, brothers, as you're doing and focusing on the Lord every day and edifying and studying and pouring out, stripping away, as Brother Kua said, plucking out, ripping out, cutting out everything that's not of the Father. We're becoming like a raw nerve for and to the Lord. And he can use us in that. But if we're compromised and we're connected to the world and we're weak and we're ineffectual, we're feminized, whatever, he can't use us. He can use us when we fully submit in meek humbleness. And I see that in your brothers, and I appreciate that.
There's just one thing I'd like to read before we end, if I'm understanding this in right context. Isaiah 63:2-63:4 is talking about Christ.
Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in my anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I shall stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the years of my redeemed is come.
Wow, those are some incredible words. Wrath is coming. Vengeance is coming.
I think it does tie into the Lord Jesus, because the Revelation tells us that the time is coming when they're going to literally be running into the mountains and crawling under rocks to hide from the wrath of the Lamb.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, it definitely ties to him. And it talks about the great wine press of wrath, I think it is in Revelation, that's going to happen when the angel plunges his sickle into the earth, and there's going to be a judgment, and there's going to be a reaping. And yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. People just don't understand who God is. The world has been fooled. Satan has a really good false Jesus. The love, easy, believe, overlooking sin, feminized Jesus. Hey, we didn't talk about that real quick. They've even feminized Jesus, have they not?
They have, yep.
Totally feminized our Savior with these images of the long hair and the soft man, and he's just always kind and loving and never says anything that's confrontational or biting or rebuking sin. He's just this big feminized Savior. Yeah, that's who they've created. So we shouldn't be surprised they feminized the culture and the churches. They feminized Jesus himself. They've made a false Jesus.
Well, you know who that's going to be, brother. It's going to be the Antichrist.
Probably something similar. Yep. Yeah.
No desire for women, if I remember from Daniel.
Yep. I've heard that saying, too, which would fit well with this culture. Boy, they'd love that. A homosexual Antichrist. Boy, would that fit in. That would fit in. Interesting. We're living in those days. And we get to go forth and shine our lights and be salt and preach the gospel and warn people. What a glorious thing. I can't think of anything better to do. We're not prophets, but we get to do a prophet's job in these last days. I love it.
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, that's all I got today. It's getting late. Some of you guys have to go to work tomorrow. Anything else before we close out?
Nope,
praise God for his Son and his Word.
Amen. Praise God for the Son. Praise God for his Word. Praise God for godly men and women that we know that are striving for the kingdom of God, and they are a salt and light out in the world. Be bold and stand for the truth of God. I'm here to help you anytime, brothers.
Godspeed.
All right. Have a glorious night. Thanks for your time.